We'll embark on the rain report for August 1st, 2009 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to yet another edition of The Rain Report, available as a free weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Back in the 50s and 60s, it was commonplace for potential hams like Rain's founder producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, to become active in ham radio in their mid-teens. The just-announced 2009 Young Ham of the Year earned his technician license at the age of 11 in 2005. Today, he's a general class licensee at the age of 15. He's Andrew Koenig, KE5GDB. According to a press release from the Young Ham of the Year sponsor Amateur Radio Newsline, Andrew is going into his sophomore year at Clear Lake High School in Houston, where he is a member of the school's marching band. He is also into computers and creating websites. Andrew maintains his website that was created when he was in middle school. Andrew's list of accomplishments is a long one, as you'll hear in this week's interview of him. He is a son of Joe and Lori Koenig. Joe holds the call letters KE5JQA. Joe is licensed as a result of Andrew's interests. Andrew also has a younger brother, Kyle. Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, spoke with Andrew via cell phone at the Boy Scouts of America Sea Base in Key West, Florida.
Andrew, my name is Mark Abramovich. I'm NT3V. I'm the chairman of the Young Ham of the Year Award Committee for the Amateur Radio Newsline. And as you know, you were nominated for our award, and you are among our finalists that we have selected. And usually we do a final interview process as part of this before we, as a committee, make our selection. I understand you're at Seabase. Fantastic.
I just flew here today, and
wow.
So far it's been lots of fun. I came here last year, and I had a ton of fun, and hoping to enjoy it as much this year, too.
What event or what activity are you going to do at Seabase?
We're scuba diving, and we're living in the dorms. We're going to do a total of 9 dives throughout the week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I even brought some ham radio gear along, active in satellites. This is a relatively rare grid, EL94. So hopefully I can get on those bands too.
That is fabulous. So ham radio comes with you wherever you go. That's kind of a nice thing. Are there any scouts that are licensed as well within the troop with you?
Aside from my dad, I believe there might be one or two.
I guess what I got to do is I got to start asking you some questions here. One of the things that really got our attention was the project that you had undertaken with the Aris contact. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about?
Nick Lance, the guy who nominated me, has been my mentor. And he was the one who taught that class a couple months in advance, you know, at the field day that year. I was talking to Ken Ransom, N5VHO, the one who helps with the astronauts and everything. He said that my intermediate school had a contact coming up. I got really wide-eyed, really interested with that. So then Nick Lance did a lot of the work there. I actually helped test a lot of the equipment for the contact since it was a telebridge contact. The station that was actually contacting the ISS was in California, I believe. We were in Clear Lake, Texas. For some reason, the phone patch wasn't working properly. I had to actually go into one of the school phones, I think about 15 minutes worth of testing before the contact started. And finally, right on time, we got it going again. Everything was working just fine. I also talked to the whole school with like 1,000 or so to explain what was going on. A lot of them, I've understood because I asked a few of my friends later on, hey, did you pretty much get everything I said? And they said, yeah, it made perfect sense. Overall, you know, it was fun. I didn't bring any equipment or anything to help make the contact happen, but I did troubleshoot it. I did talk to the whole school about the Aris contact.
That's just fantastic. You have been involved in some public service activity. Can you tell me something that really stands out in your mind that really stuck with you there?
I had tried putting a handy talkie on my bike, and I wasn't impressed with the results because the rubber duck just didn't get out as far as I wanted to. A couple months before, I had ordered my first mobile rig, the FT7800, and actually a couple weeks before I decided to put it all together on the bike, I had bought a brand new gel cell battery. So I thought, you know, hey, I've got this remote cape that came free with the radio. I've got the battery. I've got an antenna. I've got everything I need to make it happen. So I just mounted it all on the bike with zip ties. I had 50 watts mobile on a bike for VHF and UHF. And it really did help out with public service. That's the one thing that really stands out with me in the public service. Because, you know, I used it for a lot of things. Like, at one of the events, there was a gas leak at a nearby home, and They asked me to go over to that, see what was going on, and I was able to help out in that situation. Of all the public service things I've done, I think the bike is the one thing that I'll remember the most.
I understand that you were pretty active in Field Day last year and had something to do with some satellites.
It was funny because in March last year, there was this guy that he convinced me to get on satellites, and I built a cheap antenna out of like a piece of coax and a couple coat hangers. So I was able to get on AO-51 and some of the other satellites up there. Field Day came around, and that was my preferred mode because that's the one thing I knew how to do very well, suck on satellites and do all the Doppler control and everything that was required to get on the air for satellites. And to be honest, that was really the highlight of my Field Day that year, since my HF rig was malfunctioning and stuff wasn't going right except for the satellite station, and that really made my Field Day.
I don't have the calendar, but I hear you made quite a splash in the CQ calendar. Tell me about how that happened.
It was really weird. It started with a phone call from Nick Lance, my nominator. He called me and he said, "Hey, Andrew, there's this guy coming to Houston, or in fact, he's in Houston right now. He's a photographer for CQ calendar, and he needs some shots of something here in Houston. But he didn't have anything in mind, so I told him that you'd be ready for to show your bike." Nick and Larry Mulville came over, and we shot pictures of my bike and my room, actually, since my room resembled a ham radio operator's room, because there was all sorts of parts and other electronic stuff just all over the room. And my RLP note was the bike was the one that ended up making it into the CQ calendar, and I was Mr. September of 2008. That was really neat. I was really surprised that I actually made it in there.
That's fantastic.
Well, the thing that I really remember the most about it is afterwards, Nick Lance was telling me about how it all happened. When Larry had called him to ask for someone to shoot, Nick said, "I know just the guy. He's a youth ham and he's 13 years old and he'll be just the right guy for the calendar." That's probably the one thing I remember the most out of the whole thing, was that Nick knew that I would be the right guy.
You're listening to Newsline Mark Abramovich and T3V speaking with the 2009 Young Ham of the Year Award winner, Andrew Koenig, KE5GDB. Mark and Andrew will return in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available via terrestrial dial-up at 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. Sponsored by Udl Systems, UDDLE.com. This is The Rain Report.
You're active in scouting. Tell me something about your scouting career, your life right now.
Yes, I am. I started off at like age 11 before I was licensed, and then I got my ham radio license, and on the bus ride to one of the summer camps, I whipped out one of my handy talkies. I got the nickname of Ham. Everybody was amazed with how I could talk to people in New York and other places over IRLT from just my handy talkie. I was called Ham from then on, an unofficial nickname on the bus for that trip. I managed to get through first class, which is a lot farther than a lot of other scouts in our troop make it. Since then, I've actually been a lot more active in scouts than many of the other people that started out in my year. I'm 15 now, and I got life, I think, when I was 14. Hopefully, I'll be able to get Eagle in time, but scouting has been lots of fun, and I think I'm on the right track for getting Eagle.
How close are you to Eagle? How many merit badges do you have?
I have to finish up personal management. That's the merit badges about financing and stuff. Mm-hmm. I have to finish personal fitness and family life. And then, of course, I have to do an Eagle project and get my letters of recommendation.
You have 2 3-month merit badges to finish. And how would I know that? It might have something to do with the fact that I'm a scout leader and have been so for many years. Now, you have radio merit badge among your merit badges, right, Andrew?
Yes, I do. It was really funny because my third summer camp, the guy that was teaching radio merit badge there had scheduling conflicts. He asked my dad, because somehow they figured out each other, or they were hands, and he asked my dad if he could teach the class. I helped co-teach that class with my dad. We helped several dozen people get their radio merit badge, all because this one guy had a scheduling conflict.
What camp was that, Andrew?
Buffalo Trail Scout Ranch, out in the Davis Mountains in Texas, West Texas, north of, like, Big Bend State Park.
I just have one or two more things. One of the photos that was sent to me, and I think you made reference to it, was your Radio Shack in a closet. Is that correct? Tell me something about that.
Since I was, like, 4 or 5, I've been collecting electronic and computer parts. And when I was licensed in 6th grade, my love for electronics evolved into ham radio. And, of course, I was fascinated by computers and other stuff, and I discovered IRLP. I built an IRLP node, and that's one of the things that was set up in my closet. And there's also lots of bins of other older computer parts, you know. They actually make really good field day logging computers when I put them all together, but I've got bins of other stuff there, and I can't really say it's a ham radio shack yet, because at the time of the photo, I think I only had 3 or 4 radios in there. It definitely does look like I'm on the right track to get it, never to be a full-blown shack sometime soon.
In addition to IRLP and the like, is there any other satellites, any other modes you like to operate?
I actually love contesting. I haven't been too active in that because I've had conflicts, you know, like this year for field day. I was actually on a bus ride home from another summer camp with Boy Scouts, and so I wasn't able to make field day. Contesting is lots of fun. That's one of my other favorite things to do. I probably would be a lot more active on HF, but I don't have a tuner for my antenna. I've got a nice old Kenwood rig and a G5RV, but I don't have a tuner for that. I haven't quite got everything running yet, but HF will be another one of my primary interests. But VHF and UHF are lots of things I like to do now, from repeaters to satellites and IRLP, of course.
Very good. All right, Andrew, I have one or two final things here, because I don't want to keep you. As Mr. Pasternak may have told you, you are among our finalists for the Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. I was just wondering, what would it mean to you if you were named the Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year?
I think it would open up a lot of doors for me, because I think it would look really good next to Eagle on, like, college applications. I don't know if it would do too well on job resumes, but I know it could carry some impact on those. It would definitely help me out later in life, but, you know, now it would just be amazing to have, because I've got lots of friends that are counting on me to, you know, do stuff great in ham radio, and Young Ham of the Year would probably go in the book of things that I've done in ham radio that they're really impressed with. It would just mean a lot to me, you know. Even getting to travel to Huntsville and to go to space camp would be really amazing, too. And hopefully I get to see a few of those friends at Huntsville.
To have somebody who actually nominated you for this, I imagine your mentor, that said a lot to you about how he felt about you and your commitment to amateur radio.
Yes, Nick Lance. He hasn't really been pushing me to do anything. A lot of the stuff I discover on my own, but he's one of the big roles or one of the key aspects in ham radio. And it would have really, it would give him a really good feeling to know that one of his students went on to get Youth Ham of the Year. He would just be really impressed and amazed with that too.
Andrew, are you standing or are you sitting?
I'm sitting right now because it feels like it's a million degrees out here. And
Mr. Pasternak is on the line, but I'd like to, as the chairman of the Young Ham of the Year Award Committee, extend to you my congratulations. Andrew, you are the 2009 Young Ham of the Year.
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. All my friends here at Seabase are going to be really impressed. Oh, my God.
You are our hands-down favorite all the way. What are you thinking right now?
I don't know. I'm thinking about a trip to Huntsville, you know, because that's going to be lots of fun. It's summer vacation, and I've only been out of town twice, you know, both for Boy Scout summer camps, and Huntsville will be lots of fun. Wow, that is amazing.
Never in your wildest dreams did you ever think something like this might come to pass?
When one of my friends first told me about Youth Ham of the Year, in fact, you might know him, W5KUB, Tom, you know, he goes to the Huntsville Ham Fest every year, and he streams live audio and video. He first told me about it a couple years ago when I started watching his video. And, you know, I thought, wow, that'd be really cool to have one day. But now that you say I have it, it's just, wow.
The minute you answer the telephone, you have it. In my real life, I'm a reporter for a CBS radio station in Philadelphia. And all the people who work at the Amateur Radio Newsline are involved in news gathering and reporting in their real lives. And we make a little time to do amateur radio things in our outside as well.
You've just heard a conversation between Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, and the just-announced 2009 Young Ham of the Year, Andrew Koenig, KE5GDB, a 15-year-old general-class licensee from Houston, Texas. Not many 15-year-old Boy Scouts are anywhere close to becoming an Eagle Scout as Andrew. Congratulations to Andrew and his parents for a job well done. Incidentally, Andrew and his bedroom closet IRLP node will be featured on the cover of the September 2009 issue of CQ Magazine. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2009. Rain, all rights reserved. Audio this week courtesy of Amateur Radio Newsline. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I am Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.